Welcome back to the Training Center with Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr., who is our founder, Dean. And so we're so excited to have you back and embracing, amen, the continuation of the culture of honor. We want to begin to pick back up where we left off at to continue our teaching on page 140, near the very top. So make sure you get your pen and ready to go to work. We're excited. On page 140, the very first question is asked to us, what is your motivation? Why do you get up in the morning? Why do you get up in the morning? What pushes you? What's caused you to be so excited that you look forward to the next day of putting your hands on your assignment? This is vital information, because when we understand the mindset of the poverty, the middle class, and the wealthy, it gives us an insight to their energy, the insight to their excitement for living, and what drives them every morning to get out of bed and to go after their dreams, to fulfill life assignments. This is also true for the believer, because you have to understand you are found in one of these mindsets. And we have to understand what drives us, what gets us up in the morning, what makes us love God the way we love God, and we love the work of God. When we understand this, then we are understanding the end game. This is what we're so convinced, persuaded, that nothing, no event can stop us from achieving who we are and what we're called to do. So what drives you? What's the motivation? And what I want to say to you in this particular paragraph, which we'll find our first answer, that no matter what mindset you are of, there's going to be a statement here that's going to identify each mindset. They identify each mindset. Now, we've gone through some series of teachings already, but there are a root cause that causes all of them to be motivated, to be driven, to go after their vision and the God assignment on their life. You see, the driving force for each class is rooted in how they see the world they live in and how they relate to resources. That's number one. And it's very important to understand all of us are driven by this. Those who do nothing, period, as well as those who achieve great exploits in the kingdom of God. Whether they're saved or unsaved, this is a driving force for all classes of why they get up in the morning and put their hands on their assignment. So make sure you have that. That is very important, because you need to understand as a pastor, as an evangelist, as a teacher, even as an apostle and prophet, this has to be the thing that keeps you going every day. That even when you're having challenges, when you're physically maybe tired and not feeling so well, not even so mentally focused with the energy, this drives you every day. This keeps you in the game, in the ministry every day. The driving force is how I see life and the resources that God has blessed me with to be a blessing to other people. That is the driving force in all that you go to do. So I want to also focus on, again, not going repetitive over all the different mindsets here on page 40 and 41, how they see things. But we want to go into page 42, because I want to pick up midways of this page 142 and focus in on something about the wealthy that you and I need to continue to understand and maintain and develop if you have not developed it. No matter what level you're on, whether you're in poverty, whether you're middle class, or you're wealthy, this is where you want to come. This is how you want to think. This is how you want to see life and the calling on your life. This is how you want to see it. He said the wealthy have a driving force that, again, doesn't make much sense to the other classes. He says they get out of bed in the morning to establish and strengthen their connections with other world changers. That's number two. That's number two. They get out of debt to establish and strengthen their relationship with other world changers. Our strength lies in our connections, in our relationships. The ministries of that are isolated, pastors, teachers, evangelists, even apostles or prophets who do not want to connect with others in the body of Christ, who feel that others' people's agendas are just negative, they're not their point of view, and whatever their reasons are, the reason why they don't want to connect with them, we find them being stagnant, not producing at a greater measure as they should, not as influential, worldview known, all because they are not connected with other members, other giftings or callings in the body of Christ. This power of connection is very vital to growth in establishing strength and unification. The Bible teaches strongly that if one lie by himself, there is no warmth. But if two lie together, there is warmth. If one fall, the other one can pick him up. But if you're isolated and you're by yourself, not wanting to make a connection with other members of the body of Christ, other greater works in the body of Christ, then when you go through whatever challenges or trials you're going to have as a ministry, as a personal minister, in your own personal life as well, we have those challenges. We're not exempted. Then you're not going to have anyone to turn to help you, to financially support you, mentally and spiritually support you, because of the fact you're not a part of the team, of the connection. And this is why it's so vital that we understand that God put placed in the body, Ephesians 4:11-16, the apostles or prophets, the evangelists, pastors and teachers, the fivefold ministry. And these ministries are to work together in unification to bring about the whole, to bring about the whole. It doesn't matter whether they're in Africa, whether they're in some other continent. It doesn't matter. In Europe or Rome or wherever they are, doesn't matter. If we're in covenant, then our connection make us one and make us whole no matter where we are. We're not separated. We're not separated in spirit. We're not separated in mind. And we're not separated in finances because we're one united relationship. That makes a powerful difference. It makes a powerful difference because when we are attacked by the enemy, we have brothers and sisters around the world who can stand with us and help us fight the enemy. And this is so vital. If you're by yourself, that's not going to happen. You're going to have to fight this all by yourself, you know, without the manifested physical presence of brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. So make sure that's number two on your list. They get out of bed in the morning to establish and strengthen their connection with other world changers. Vital, 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 vital. The wealthy understand that there are a few powerful decision makers who make the global economy, social, and political climate what it is. They are very concerned that they have connections to those decision makers and work to get as close to them as they can get. You see, that connection is so powerful. Connection is so powerful that we have to build a relationship. We have to stay connected. We have to communicate. We have to fellowship. We have to stretch to be a part of what is going on in our circles, what's going on in our relationships. Make those sacrifices to be face-to-face, boot on the ground, boots on the ground, so that you can develop relationships and strengthen relationships. Not just lip service, but being present is also vital to strengthen the relationship in the body of Christ. See, the culture of honor is only as strong as the honor. It's only as strong as the honor that we anchor ourselves on. We had a teaching some months ago Honor is the crowbar. Honor is the anchor that connects all of this culture. And when we do that, we're going to fight a good fight of faith. We're going to win battles. We're going to win victories, because when your brother win, you win. When your brother ministry win, you win also. Their victory becomes your victories. And so this is where you're on the winning team. This is how we're on the winning team. So make sure that's number two, because it's vital to understand how we win as ministries and sons and daughters of God. Now, let's make another note here that in the next paragraph that I think is so vital that we catch hold to. It said the wealthy don't spend their lives working away at a job. They don't spend their lives working away at a job. They are not training their children to get a job. Instead, they send their kids to school where other powerful world changers send their children. Now, from the personal point of view, as a parent, you must train your kids with the mindset of not having a job, but developing relationships, businesses that make decisions. Not a job, but a business and relationships that make changing society, social decisions that affect people's lives. What we have to do as Christians and local pastors is, the idea is, train our sons and daughters in ministry with this mindset. Put them in a position to learn at a high level how to do ministry, how to do evangelism, how to do mission fields, how to serve at a high level. You have to put them in a winning position, not just your sons and your children, your daughters, your personal sons and daughters, pastors, but sons and daughters in the ministry. You have to raise up a generation who will serve the vision, who will serve the kingdom agenda. The reason why we have so many churches who lose their vision when their pastors and leaders die is because of the fact we do not raise up sons and daughters. We do not train our sons and daughters to serve the vision, to serve the ministry for continuation. So when another pastor come in who's not even a son of the house, his agenda is different. His agenda is different, and so he's going to take the ministry eventually in another direction with another view, where many in it do not want change. Change is not always easy when there's a set agenda, a set vision in the house, and when it's trying to turn it to something else that they have not been trained or taught or by the former leader, it becomes a frustration. It becomes a divided house. A house of grumbling, and that will cause division in churches and even cause separation of churches. So we have to be mindful in our culture. Why, as a pastor, as a leader, an apostle, prophet, because they too die and move on and go on to glory. If we do not train our sons and daughters with this vision, with this mindset, and put them in a position of that leadership training, then the vision would die. It would just stall out, become stalemate, and just dry up because there was no training. So this is vital. Even as the wealthy train their kids not to get a job, but to go into a place of learning where they can develop relationships and knowledge of the business. That is so vital for you and I to learn this lesson and to connect with other people, other ministries, other churches. If you got connections in different continents or different parts of the nation, send two or three of your guys, your sons and your daughters on a summer trip to those churches. And let them go there for a couple of months and learn whatever it is that you give them assignment to learn glean from that church, so they can bring it back home, teach your members, develop your staff, so you too can be just as connected and powerful as the headquarters or the ministry you're trying to learn from, they can be just as influential. These are the strategies that you have to help to build and strengthen the culture of honor in your local church. So we're taking that mindset, bring it into understanding the revelation of it, you know, and being to use it for the glory of God. And this is just not from a world point of view. The early church in the Acts of the Apostles, they went out into all the world. They made connections. They set up new connections and new churches, as the Apostle Paul did in missionary fields. They began to do that networking to make sure that the ministry wasn't lacking. The other church ministries wasn't lacking. That was a full supply in all of the churches. This is vital to the continuous posterity in the body of Christ. In the body of Christ. So pastors, I pray if you're listening, that you grab hold to this revelation, because that is where your strength is. If you're struggling to grow your ministry, if you're struggling to get your ministry off the ground, you're going to have to develop strong relationships with other brothers and sisters in the body of Christ who has like precious faith, and make sure you strengthen those relationships and those ties so that you can be strengthened from each other. You have something to offer. Don't think you don't. You're important. You're vital to the work of ministry. Okay, number four, we're going to focus in. Number four, that connections are the driving force of the wealthy class. Connections are the driving force of the wealthy class. They believe that it's not what you know, but who you know and who knows you that makes you successful. That makes you successful. And this is true. And so we must understand that. We must begin to apply that principle to understand how to grow, how to be influential, how to develop connection strengths with others in the body of Christ. The isolated ministry will not prevail. It may do some things, but it will not prevail all by itself. It has to be strengthened. It has to be strengthened in the connection in the body of Christ. This is where necessary. This is how we therefore get the fivefold ministry to function in our ministry. Because if you're not an apostle, if you're not a prophet, but you're a pastor, but you understand Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, that you have to have this connection, then you will come into the place of understanding. This is how you're able to bring that anointing into your ministry. It's through your connection with these men and women of God. They'll be able to come visit your local church as you invite them in, give them that space to allow their gifts and their graces to be imparted into your people and train into your people. It's another way you can get this importation, as well as go visit the conferences or wherever they're hosting. Apostle Thompson hosts this three times a year, and we go there, and our church go there, and we go there, and we feed, and we glean, and we become partakers of the importation of the graces on his life, which also we take back to our local congregation. It rests on us, and we have demonstrations and manifestations because of our connecting with the grace, apostolic grace on his life. That's where it is. Don't fight the system. Don't fight the program of God of growth and elevation. In growth and elevation. It's not a worldview, it's a God view. It's not a worldview, it's a God view. The world takes the principles and work the principles better than we do. They work the principles better than we do. And that's why they see more manifestations of what they're doing at a greater level, is because of the fact they work the principles at a greater level. But we can too, because they're our principle from our Father, and we can achieve those goals at a very high level. So that's number four. So make sure you have that. The wealthy connections are the driving force of the wealthy class. Connections are the driving force of the wealthy class. And they believe it's not what you know, it's who you know and who knows you. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? If people don't know you, how can they connect with you? They never heard you before. They never heard you before. Number five. Protecting and developing these relationships with each other helps them to know what is going on all over the world. Isn't that amazing? Being informed. Number five is that you got to be informed. By having and protecting your relationships with other world changers around the world, you are informed of what's going on. You're informed on what's going on. Being in the know is vital to you being updated, relevant to the times that you live in, and the next move of the Holy Spirit. In the move of the Holy Spirit, by being connected to world changers in ministries, you become informed to the next move of the Holy Spirit. What the Holy Spirit is saying to the apostles, what the Holy Spirit is saying to the prophets, you know, and therefore we won't become stagnated. We'll always be fresh. We'll always be relevant and on target with how the church is moving with the Holy Ghost, how the church is moving with the Holy Spirit. This is vital to our growth and being relevant to the times that we live in. So we definitely want to be there. You definitely want to be connecting. That's why it's so important. Isolation, you continue to be stale. You do the same things over and over again. Nothing fresh, nothing new. You're not growing. You get disgruntled people doing the same things over and over again. And it become another religious altar that we build. We build another altar, you know, and we stop here. And we don't move forward because we don't see the glory cloud. We don't see the move of the Spirit because we're not connected with other world leaders who are hearing what the Spirit of God is saying on a different frequency. And they don't mind moving out at the command or the summons of God. Vital son and daughter of God. You got to make connection. I know many times you, even as a Christian that are listening, as an individual, sometimes your personality is you don't want to be bothered. You don't want to be in that kind of mix or that kind of crowd. You just want to be, you know, good church member and do what you got to do at church and going home. And sometimes our own personality becomes the hindrance to our growth, to our elevation. And we need to be able to move beyond that in order for expansion, in order for increase, in order for the greater works to be done. We got to move upon our personal, emotional feelings of how we see ourselves and how we see them better and how we see the assignment of God. You know, Moses was a man who was stagnant in speaking, you know, and he told God, said, God, I can't speak like that. And so you need to send my brother Aaron and let him be the sports person because I can't speak like that. You know, don't let your personality or your weaknesses become the crippling to your success, the cripples to your success of what you could have done or could be. And you look back on life with regrets. You know, I should have done that when I was in my 40s. I should have done that when I was in my 30s or 50, early 50s. You know, no. When we learn the power connection, it's a gravitation that pulls us to the next dimension, pull us and encourage us and motivate us to the next potential and unlocking the potential that's on the inside of us. Unlocking the potential that's on the inside of us. So we have to come to grips with that. Also, so that we don't let false pride become our humility. False pride becomes your humility and become a hindrance to your could have, should have, in life. Okay, so it's very important that we learn that in ministry. I want to focus in on now. Let's look at page 143, and it continues talked about the wealth mindset in the first paragraph, how they live lives of limitlessness and know what it takes to, in character and responsibility to keep freedom alive throughout their generation and into the next. This is midway of the first paragraph on page 143. So just kind of scan down and get there with me. What it say, they live lives of limitlessness. Connection brings you to a place of limitlessness where, because I have, you have, I have, that becomes resources by virtue of relationships, by virtue of connection, it becomes resources. And so therefore, that connection empowers you with unlimited potential to succeed in ministry, in your calling. Now, this with the understanding that those you connect to understand that their resources are not their own. Their resources are necessary for supplying each joint to be efficient. Each joint to be efficient. Again, we're back to Ephesians 4:11-16, that each joint supplies the other. This is a thing that the church have to become mindful of. Again, that their supply, their tools, that their achievements is also the strength of their brothers and their sisters. And to share that strength causes them to elevate, causes them to elevate. It causes all of us to elevate when each one of us elevate, not sitting by and letting the other one struggle his way up when we could be a blessing to him to accelerate at a greater level, at a greater pace than 20, 30 years of trying to achieve something when we already have the resources that he or she could use to achieve it within a year, 2 years to make it happen. Okay. And this is where we understand the global mind of the culture of the kingdom of God. Each joint supplies the other. Okay, so let's move on, because that is number six. They have lived lives of limitlessness and know what it takes in character and responsibility to keep freedom alive throughout their generation and into the next. The pattern of 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, where Paul talks about the Macedonia church and how the church was in their great trials of affliction and in great poverty, and how they begin to give themselves first to God and then to them, and they begged them to receive their gift to help other ministries. That is the pattern, the example that was set for us to continue in for future generation freedom. For future generation freedom. And this is how we establish that. This is why I'm telling you, your resources are not your own. They're to help meet the need and cause the acceleration of growth in other ministries, in other ministries. So this is vital. I really would love for you to continue to listen to the whole teaching and not just look for answers, but look through the whole video, the whole teaching, because not only is the answer important, but the information on how we get that answer, how we work that answer, is important. No, many times you can answer the 2 + 2 = 4 as the answer, but then the teacher asks you how you got that. Well, 2 + 2 = 4. No, how did you get that answer? You see, explaining how you get from point A to point B is vital to continuation, not just having the answer. It's understanding the process. It's understanding the process, how you do it. That is vital to you as a believer understanding the process. When we do that, there's no stopping us. There's no stopping it, because now we can repeat it over and over and over again. Repeated success is based upon doing stuff repetitiously over and over again. Vital, vital revelation. So you don't want to lose that. You want to focus in on that, because that is very vital to what we're talking about today. Very vital to what we're talking about today. When we're talking about the mindset of continuous sustaining growth from generation to generations, this is vital. Okay, so let's go on, and we'll do about two more, and we'll call it our teaching training for this session. But it's very important that we receive the information, listen carefully to the information, retain the information, comprehend it, so that we can repeat it and teach others how to do the same for their success. Okay, the next paragraph on page 143, it talks about believers who embrace the priorities and power of connection will invest their time and energy to build relationships with other revivalists and invest in training their children to do the same. That's number seven. We got to come to this revelation. We got to come to this revelation, brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, because this is long-sustaining generational growth in the kingdom of God. It's the continuously being fresh, relevant in every generation that is born on the planet until the Lord Jesus Christ comes. How that we can be perpetual and relevant, how we can reach and win souls effectively, not only winning souls effectively, but build lives effectively. That every soul that we win have to also be harvested. It has to be housed. It has to be trained. It has to be taught. It has to come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and the way of the mind of Christ. That is the second phase of soul winning, winning them and getting them planted where they can continue to grow and be sustained. So we got to begin to understand this principle that believers who embrace the priority and power of connections, because now we have the technology. We have the technology that you and I are reaching sons and daughters around the world. The way of ministering the gospel. Many of them are connecting online members from wherever country they are in, whatever continent they're in. They become online members to the local church, which is with you as their pastor, as their evangelist, apostles, or prophets. And so through this technology of connection, it makes us, the distance is not from here to China. No, the distance is from their computer to your online. That's how close their connection is to you. Okay, so we got to make sure that they're in a place of being trained. And so we got to use that technology. We're going to use that particular tool to do so. Then we have to be thorough and committed to online pastoring them, you know, fathering them from that distance. So they're feeding their information, their continue going to the online to become a partaker of whatever programs you have established in your local congregation. They are now partakers of it. Where's a vast place right now for its technology and advancement to reach the world? And we have to take full advantage of it, full advantage of it. So we have to embrace and invest in this. I love the way it said. Let's read it one more time, the way it's written. It said, believers who embrace the priority and power of connections will invest their time and energy to build relationships with other revivalists and invest in training their children to do the same. And training their kids to do the same. Long sustaining ministries. Passed down from one generation to another generation with the same agenda. This is the way the founders' vision can be built on, but never changed. You can build on something, but never change the root vision of this vision, this calling upon this local ministry why God placed you where he placed you, why you get up every morning with the energy, is there because of the fact the founding father that established that ministry, that founded that ministry, set forth a vision. And everyone who's come up out since him have that same vision, and they're just building the next piece on that vision. But the core is the same. This is where the people are established. This is where the people become solid. The people know who they are, and they can identify the work of that ministry in that community, in that nation, with that local vision, because everybody's been trained and sent forth after each leader that comes built upon that vision and that plan. That makes it simple. That makes it work. That makes it simple. That makes it work. And efficient and effective in that community or in that nation around the world. I love this. I love this. It's vital that we connect and understand it. It's vital that we connect and we understand it. It's so vital for the truth that we must understand. Okay, one more, and we're finished for today. It say they will make sacrifice to be where God's anointing is pouring out. They will make the sacrifice to be where God's anointing is pouring out. That's number 8. And I want you to grab hold of that, man, because that is what I mentioned to you early. The power of connection. You have to make the sacrifices to be boots on the ground and face present. In any relationships you're trying to build, you got to build relationships. To build growth, energy, elevation, it comes through connections. It comes through connections. And we have to make the sacrifice. Whether we have to fly out every now and then, send finances to that work. If we're not going ourselves, send our teams to that work. Get the information, the writings, the books, the handouts, the manuals that are being placed through the conferences of where the anointing is being poured out. Getting up under the umbrella, it's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. And it's called getting in the way, but getting out of your own way of stopping you from success with the poverty mindset, you know, that I'm limited to my own resources. No, you're not limited. You're only this short of vision. You're short of vision. And you have to see beyond the bigger picture that there are levels of anointing, there are levels of giftings and graces. And so therefore, you must connect even with those who have a greater grace. Same spirit, but a greater grace and calling on their life that connects with what God has called you to do. That is vital. That is important. So making sure that you have all 8 of those answers so that you'll be prepared for your test and as we go forward. But not only preparing for the test, but comprehending the process, learning the process of how to build relationships and connections and change your mindset, not only for ministry, but for your personal life and your own families, that you may enrich them and empower them for generations to come. The Bible says a good man will leave an inheritance for his children. So this is what we want to do, not only financially, but spiritually, and not only spiritually, but also financially, so our children's children can be blessed and continue the legacy of ministry that God has placed you in. So until next time, God bless you. We love you. Amen. And continue in ministry.